So excited for tonight. In fact, I'm excited because I feel like I come with a good report. Maybe you've already heard, this past weekend was beach baptism weekend. And guys, we baptized 942 people. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I know there's a few people in the room that got baptized, and we just want to say congratulations on taking that step of going public in your faith. Come on, let's encourage all those that got baptized that are in the room. Amazing, amazing time. And I'm even excited about tonight, because tonight we're kicking off a new collection called Life in the Pit. Life in the Pit. And I'm excited to jump into today's message, because we're going to be taking some time over the next few weeks to study the life of Joseph. The life of Joseph. And I love Joseph's story, because Joseph, he was a young man who the favor of God was clearly on his life. But when we read the book of Genesis, when we hear the story of Joseph, what we realize is even though the favor of God was on his life, he still had to endure through some challenges. And what does that mean for us as we go into this collection, as we go into the series? Maybe you're new to a relationship or you're new to your walk with Jesus. I want you to know, even though Jesus is in your life, there's still challenges. And I want you to know that the challenges are formative. The challenges, they're changing you. I believe that the challenges will mature you in your walk with Jesus. And today, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 37. If you got a Bible, I want you to open it up there. If you don't know where that's at, it's the first book in the Bible, 37 chapters in. If you don't have a Bible, the verses will also be on the screens. We're going to look at how Joseph emerges onto the scene in Genesis chapter 37, picking up in verse 2. I'm going to read 12 verses, and then we're going to jump in. It says this: this is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended to his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. Don't name your children that. It says, but Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. Then it says this: they couldn't say a kind word to him. So one night, Joseph, he had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him even more than ever. But listen to this dream, Joseph said. We were out in the field, tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle, it stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brothers responded, so you think you'll be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Soon Joseph had another dream, and again, he told his brothers about it. Listen, I have had another dream, he said. The sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me. This time, he told the dream to his father as well as his brothers, but his father, he scolded him. What kind of dream is that, he asked. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you? Last verse, it says, but while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant. Today, as we open up in week one of this collection, I want to speak from this idea, growing up and getting older. Growing up and getting older. How many of you know, as you get older, certain things in your life change. At least they should change. Certain things that you desire, certain things that you once did, certain things that you once believed, certain ways that you perceive the world and all of the people in the world, it should change over time. Why? Because we're maturing. Certain things in our life begin to change over time. In fact, I remember when Michelle and I first started leading the ministry here at The Exchange, every Tuesday night after a service, we would all go out to eat. We would hang out with some of the team and the staff. And we would get home at like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, wake up the next morning early and go about doing ministry. But as you mature, as you grow up, that changes. Not only as you mature and as you grow up, that changes. As you have children, that changes. It's plural, children. Got another kid on the way, actually. As Michelle and I have continued to be here on Tuesday nights, there's a sudden sense of urgency for us to get home on a Tuesday night, because when you're a parent, you take whatever sleep you can get, okay? You take whatever sleep you can get. And the other day, last Tuesday, actually, Michelle, she wasn't here with me on a Tuesday night, so I thought I could, like, kind of push the limit and be like, hey, babe, you remember when we used to all go out, like, with some of the team and hang out for dinner? Do you mind if I go and hang out? And my wife, she's the best. She's like, absolutely, but, don't forget, you have a pregnant wife and a child. So I'm like, so what does that mean, you know, like 11 o'clock, midnight, like what are we talking about? Anyways, your boy got home at 1 o'clock in the morning, and let's just say it wasn't the best experience when I got home, okay? And my wife, she's the best ever. She didn't really complain, but she just gave me that look. Some of you don't know this look yet, but some of you married people in there, you know the look that I'm talking about. And my wife's like, was that like just the best idea? Like she's trying to just kind of interview me in this moment. Like, was that reasonable? 1 o'clock? And I'm like, babe, I was just looking for some fun. She's like, but Mark, you're a husband and you're a father. Got it. And what my wife was trying to help me understand is some of my ways can't be like how they used to be. Some of the things and some of the things that I desire to do, some of the things that I desire or find fulfillment, it just can't be the same. And I believe this to be true for us in the room. As we get older, some of our ways need to change. Some of our preferences, some of the things that were fulfilling to us, some of the things that filled our cup, they need to change. And over the past few months, I started wrestling with this idea and this thought. Just because we're getting older doesn't mean we're growing up. Just because we're getting older doesn't mean we're growing up. And what I'm realizing in this generation is most people don't grow up, they just age. Most people don't grow up, they just age. And what I want you to know is that growing up is so much more than just getting older. Friends, we all know someone. Don't raise your hand, don't look around the room. But you know somebody that is a whole adult but still behaves like a child. Don't look around. Don't nudge nobody. Chances are somebody's saying that about you. Could be a whole adult, but still behave like a child. And I wrote this thought down the other day. It says this: maturity, it doesn't always come with change or age, excuse me. In fact, it's deeper than age. It's about the way you see and understand things, the way you consider others, the way you represent yourself and others. Everyone grows old, but not everyone is growing up. I want you to just get this deep into your heart today. I want you to get a conviction about this truth tonight. I want you to leave this place understanding. Yes, we're young adults, but God, he wants to mature us in our relationship with him. Not just our relationship with him. He wants to mature every area and every aspect of our life. He wants us to have a mature mindset. He wants us to have a mature spirit. He wants us to have a mature grip of our emotions, a mature understanding of who we are and who he has created us to be. But as I think about this story of Joseph, it reminds me not only are we called to be mature, it also reminds me that we're called to be self-aware. We're called to be self-aware. And how many of you know self-awareness is all about understanding who I am and how other people around me experience me? Self-awareness is about understanding who I am and how other people experience me. And we've all met that person who lacks self-awareness. It's the person that when you tell a story, they find a way to insert themselves in the story. It's not only the person that inserts themselves in every single story. It's the person that swears that they have haters. How many know what I'm talking about? Like, they hate me because they ain't me, you know, like that person. And how many of you know they don't have haters? They just have people that can't stand being around them, okay? Like, that's the person that's lacking awareness of self. And friends, hear me. If we're going to honor God with our lives, and if we're going to be used by God, if we're going to walk in all the things that God has for us, friends, we need to understand what it means to live a life of maturity and self-awareness. I believe so many of us are sitting in the room right now, and we go, but I'm pretty self-aware. So many of us would be shocked. You're not self-aware. You're self-absorbed. Some of you would be so shocked. Oh, my God, I'm so mature. I'm a man of God. No, homie. The fact that you walk around with your chest that high and think you can hold your own, it's a reflection of your immaturity, not your maturity. I want us to get this revelation in our heart as we go into week one of this collection. Because when I look at the story of Joseph, oftentimes preachers and communicators, they'll quickly jump to the moment where Joseph, he finds himself in the pit, and they'll teach about the moment that he's in the palace. But everyone skips over Genesis 37, where we see a young 17-year-old man who poses himself and portrays himself as someone that's immature and unaware of himself. Some of you are going, wait, Joseph, he's a mighty man of God. But I want to zero in on this text, and I believe that in these 12 verses, in Genesis chapter 37, verse 1 through 12, we could take five life lessons that will impact us right now in this season of our life. Genesis chapter 37, verse 2, it says this: when Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the son of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph, don't miss this, he reported to his fathers some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Life lesson number one for today: if we're going to mature, if we're going to grow in our awareness of self, we need to watch our mouth. We got to watch our mouth. When you study this text, some theologians believe that when Joseph came to his father, he was worried about what his brothers were doing. But many other theologians believe that when Joseph came to his father, he was doing this and being critical of his brothers and kind of gossiping about his brothers. And when I think about that, I just can't help but think, isn't this how we oftentimes carry ourselves? Just gossiping, belittling people, not speaking highly of other people. Some of us, we have other people's names in our mouth more than we have our own. We gotta watch our mouth. We gotta watch our mouth. And I was thinking about this the other day. I was in Walmart. Try not to go to Walmart sometimes. If you know, you know. But I was at Walmart, and as I was at Walmart, there was this lady who was on the phone, and she wanted everyone to be aware of her conversation. You know that person that sometimes kind of does that. And she's like, girl, you wouldn't believe what Leroy did to Erica. Just going for him. I don't know who Leroy is, but I'm praying for him. She's just going for this man. You wouldn't believe what he said to her. I'm like, I just kind of wanted to ask her, excuse me, like, who's Leroy and Erica? She was just going for it. Just going for it in this moment. And I thought about that. I go, it's such a picture of how so many of us get so worked up about things that don't even involve us. We start inserting ourselves in narratives that we don't fully understand. And then quickly, we start telling a false narrative, and we start telling rumors. I think about this verse in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. It says, do not go about spreading slander among your people. I think so often we start airing out people's laundry that we have no business even touching. Start getting involved in conversations that half the time we're lacking the context. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, it also says this: a gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid anyone who talks too much. Avoid that person. Let me just kind of go off the cuff right here and just say this. I think one of the breeding places of gossip sometimes is the church. And I think sometimes we don't just see this in people openly talking. I think it happens in our prayer life. Hey, let's pray for blank because he's struggling with blank. And I want to tell you right now, here at The Exchange, as the pastor of this ministry, I want you to know we will not have a culture of gossip. Friends, we aren't high schoolers. We're not middle schoolers. We are young adults, people who are maturing in our walk with God. I'm not going to gossip. I'm going to be known by what I'm for and not what I'm against. But as I think about this verse in Genesis chapter 37, verses 3 through 4, what we learn is that Joseph, yes, he goes to his father. And his father, he gives him a robe. Scripture says he gives him a blessing, a robe, a gift. This is important that we understand that his father favored him so much that he gives him a special robe. And as his father gives him this robe, Scripture then tells us in verse 4 that his brothers hated him because of how much his father favored him. They hated him. They despised him. Then we get to Genesis chapter 37, verse 5 through 8. It says, one night Joseph, he had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him even more. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brother responded, "So you think you'll be our king, do you? Do you actually think you'll reign over us?" Don't miss this. He says, it says, "And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them." I don't want you to get this mistaken. This dream, this was a dream from God. Like, God was the one that was revealing these things to Joseph in this moment. And the dream was telling Joseph that you are a man of favor. The favor of your father and the favor of God is on your life. But it's a picture of Joseph's favor and his influence increasing, and his 11 brothers gathered around him, literally worshiping him and bowing before him as their ruler. And the brothers didn't like this, but it blows my mind that Joseph didn't stop to think for a moment how this would make his brothers feel. Like, how do you not stop and think for a second? Oh, my brothers are jealous of me, and they're kind of envious towards me. My brothers don't really like me. I'm going to share this dream with them, though, about me taking rule over them. Now, I think this leads to life lesson number two. Don't lord your favor over people. Don't lord your favor over people. This right here is the moment where we see Joseph is a little self-absorbed. Because if he was self-aware, he would have slowed down and thought, wait, my brothers feel some way against me. I probably should hold on to this dream. And I kind of want to mature some of you in the room. Yes, God may speak something into your heart, but sometimes you got to hold it close to the vest. Yes, God may tell you something, give you a vision, give you an idea, bless you in some way, but sometimes we just got to keep it close to the vest. And I think about how many of us, we don't even realize that we start strutting and walking around like, man, my life is all figured out, and I got a word from God, I got a dream from God, I got something from God, and we don't realize how that's impacting the people around us. Some of you get so confident, yes, you got a good paying job, but that doesn't mean you need to walk around this room boasting. Think about how many of us, we start flexing. Oh, I got a house. Oh, I got this sweet place over on the water in Bayshore. But homie, don't forget about the people that are trying to figure out where to have how to have a roof over their head. Don't forget about the people that are struggling to figure out how they're going to get in the room on a Tuesday. Some of us are so self-absorbed that we're missing out on how our favor, we're lording it over people. And as we're lording it over people, we're actually belittling people. Got to get a grip on that. And the Bible says this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but rather in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others." What does that mean? I got to value other people. I got to be aware, not just for my sake, I got to be aware for those who are around me and how my favor can impact them. And I want to be very clear. Sometimes the thing that God is doing in your life is meant to be kept close to the vest. Got to keep it close to the vest. And I'm not saying don't share with other people how God's moving your life. But I don't want you to miss the fact that there's also a fine line between boasting in yourself and boasting in God. And I see so many of us, we kind of get lost in this moment where we're actually boasting in ourselves, and that we kind of mask it with this idea, but God's showing up in my life. I want you to know that's a facade. And the people around you may not call it out, but I believe God will call it out. Got to be careful with this. And why? Because as you continue to boast in yourself, what you're doing is you're creating an ego. Life lesson number three from Joseph is kill your ego. Kill your ego. I once heard it said this way: your ego is not your amigo. Gotta learn how to kill my ego. Verse 8 says, Joseph, he now changed up and he started treating his brothers differently. Why? Chances are, he's got a little bit of an ego now. I know I'm the favorite. I know God's favor is on my life. I know God's blessing me. And when I think about ego, I think ego stands for edging God out. Start getting a little bit of ego, we start pushing God out of the picture little by little. We put ourselves on the throne. We start taking all the credit and all the glory. We think all these miracles are because of our doing and the fact that we earned it. How many know that's the farthest from the truth? Because scripture actually says it's God that opposes the proud and he shows favor to the humble. So many men, just attacking men today. I don't know what's going on, but think about that guy that finally got himself a girlfriend. Start walking around different. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, that's me. Start getting a little money in your pocket. Start talking different. Start flexing. Start holding it over other people. Don't forget, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. And the Bible also says that it's God that raises some people up, and he also brings some people down. Just as fast as you've seen your increase, how many of you know you can even see your decrease faster? Scripture says God, he also gives, but he also takes away. I wouldn't attach your ego. I wouldn't attach your confidence to that thing. I would find your worth in the person of Jesus Christ. Some of us, we find our value, we find our worth, we find our significance in things and achievements rather than the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, he says this to the church of Corinth. He says, if you want to boast, boast only in the Lord. If you want to boast, boast only in the Lord. And what I've learned in my life is what you don't turn into praise can turn into pride. What you don't turn into praise can so easily turn into pride. And how many of you know pride leads to destruction? Pride, it leads to destruction. Picking up in verse 9. I love this moment right here. Because it says, soon Joseph, he had another dream. And again, he told his brothers about it. Listen, I've had another dream. The sun, the moon, and 11 stars, it bowed low before me. And this time he told the dream to his father as well as his brothers. But his father, he scolded him. What kind of dream is that? He asked. Will your mother and I actually bow down before you? But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what that dream meant. Life lesson number 4 is, don't be approval driven. Don't be approval driven. See, Joseph's brothers already made it known that they hated him. They didn't like him. They were mad that he was the father's favorite. They were mad about the favor that rested on his life. And Joseph, he was well aware of it, but why would Joseph go back and tell them about the dream again? Why would he tell them about this dream if he already knew that his brothers were hurt by the fact that he had a different dream or another dream in the past? And chances are, Joseph does what many of us do. We start fishing for affirmation and approval from people. The first time, I didn't hear what I wanted to hear, so let me share again and see if I get some affirmation and compliments. Some of us, we get to a place where we're just so driven by approval and external affirmation that we don't even realize who we are. Just seeking approval, just fishing for compliments. And in this moment, Joseph just probably wanted some validation from his brothers. She probably wanted some approval from his brothers and his father in this moment. I just think about how relevant this is to this generation. Because I think about how many of us will find ourselves living our whole lives searching for approval from a father. I think about how many of us will spend our whole lives just searching for approval from a guy or a girl. Think about how many of us, we leverage social media as a place where we can find approval and affirmation. You know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all want to wait till the highest point of traffic on Instagram to post that photo. Some of y'all will literally hold on to your phone, grasping it and finding pleasure in the amount of likes and comments that you get. Why? We're driven by approval. We're seeking external validation. I'm reminded of what Paul says to the church of Galatia. He says, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but yet of God. And if pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. What's Paul saying to us? Paul says, I can't live for the approval of many and live for the applause of one. I got to make up my mind. And some of us need to understand, we got to make up our mind. Where are you going to find your worth? Where are you going to find your significance? I wrote it down this way. As followers of Jesus, we're called to live from the approval of God, not for the approval of man. And I want you to know today that if you live for people's approval, you will die by their rejection. If you live for people's approval, certainly you will die by their rejection. We get to verse 3. I'm going to go back to verse 3. It says this: Jacob, he loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. A beautiful robe. I want you to write this down as life lesson number 5. Understand the weight. Understand the weight. I don't want you to miss this because this wasn't an ordinary robe, okay? This wasn't Calvin Klein. This wasn't Bath and Body. This was an elaborate robe. And in this day and age, many people would wear robes as their outer garment. But the robe that Joseph's father Jacob had given him, it was more elaborate than anyone else's robe. And this was a sign of the mantle that Joseph would carry. This was a sign that he set apart, that the favor of God was resting on his life, that he was royalty and he was favored. This robe was a sign of blessing. And when I think about that, I just kind of pause in thought. Could you imagine Joseph every morning having to wake up and put this robe on? Could you imagine Joseph waking up every morning, putting this robe on, knowing that every time he wore this robe, all the people around him, all of his brothers, they would just be reminded of their hatred towards Joseph. All the people that would go, man, we want to see that guy fail. All the people that go, we want to see that guy get crushed in life. All the people that said, man, we wish that Joseph would just die. There's so many people that hated Joseph because the favor of God was on his life, and the robe was just simply a reminder of that. And I think oftentimes we want the robe. We want the blessing. We want the favor, but we don't want the responsibility or the weight. We want the robe, but we don't want the responsibility. We want to get married, but we don't want to figure out how to get a job to provide. We want to get married, but we don't want to figure out how to healthily communicate to someone else. We want to gain influence in our job, but we don't want to take responsibility when the staff's not hitting their goal. We want the robe, but we don't want the responsibility. And what I realize sometimes is that the robe, it's a little too much weight. And the robe, if we take it now, it won't cover us, it will crush us. And God, in his kindness, some of you have been crying out to God, asking God for something in your life. Whether that's a relationship, maybe that's a promotion, maybe that's a financial increase, maybe some of you married couples in the room, you've been believing God for something in your life. And God's just saying, would you trust me? Because right now, for this season, it's too much weight. And I believe so many of us, we get to a place where we've been believing God for something, and God's not doing what we've been asking, so our hearts get hardened towards God. Can I tell you that's actually the mercy of God in your life? Because God in his kindness, God in his infinite knowledge and wisdom, he knows that the robe, it's too much weight. And even as we continue to believe God for that thing, my question for you is, what are you going to do as you wait? What are you going to do? You're going to question God's faithfulness? You're going to question the goodness of God? You're going to question God's character? Can I tell you, God's protecting you. He's covering you. And he's reminding you that he's with you. See, I started changing up my language towards God when I'm asking God for something. Remember, I would oftentimes ask God the question, God, will you really do it? But I started changing my question to, will I be ready when God does it? Will I have the character? Will I have the grit? Will I have the understanding and the wisdom to steward that thing in my life? So the question that we're asking today is, how do we mature? How do we become more self-aware? How do we grow up? I want you to get this one simple application point today. It's going to blow your mind. You spend time with God. Want to grow, want to mature, want to become more self-aware, you simply got to spend time with God. How do we spend time with God? Number one, we read his word. We read his word. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, for all of scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that we may be complete. What does that mean? So that we may be matured, so that we may become more aware of ourselves and do the things that God has called us to do. How many know the Bible matures us? It develops us, it grows us. In fact, scripture, it's said to be that scripture is like a mirror. It helps us see the things in our life that we can't see for ourselves. And some of us need to understand that if we're gonna mature, we gotta get in God's word and we gotta ask God. We gotta start praying and asking God to call things out of us. When I'm mature, you gotta start reading God's word, but you also gotta have a habit and a rhythm of prayer. I think about Psalm 139. The psalmist, he says this, search me, God. And God, would you know my heart? God, would you test me and know my concerns? And God, would you see if there's any offensive way in me? And God, would you lead me in the way of the everlasting? Gotta create a habit of prayer. We gotta ask God sincerely, God, search my heart. God, call out the immature ways within me. God, would you make me more like Jesus? Make me more like Jesus. God, would you change me? Would you transform me? And I want you to understand, the reason why I'm passionate about this and the reason why I'm delivering this message today is I wholeheartedly believe that some of you will never be able to walk through the doors that God wants you to walk through until you realize you're immature. I believe that some of you will never be able to inherit the blessing and walk in the favor, have the strong marriage, have the God-honoring relationships, be the leader that God has called you to be until you realize you need to mature. You gotta mature in your walk with him. But not only that, I believe that so many of us don't realize that our immaturity and the fact that we're living lives that are so self-absorbed, it's keeping us from being a light for Jesus. It's keeping us from being a light for Jesus. I once heard this quote, and I used to always struggle with it. I didn't know if I really could get behind this quote, but it says, we may be the only Jesus that someone sees, and we may be the only Christian that someone may meet, and we may be the only Bible that someone may ever read. And as I think about that quote, I just kind of pause for a moment and think that if someone is meeting me, and if they're encountering an immature, self-absorbed person, they will never see the light of Christ Jesus in my life. If someone's meeting me and engaging me, and they know I'm a follower of Jesus, but I'm carrying myself as immature and self-absorbed, they won't see Christ in me, they will see my immaturity. And today, I just believe wholeheartedly that yes, God wants you to walk in his favor. God wants you to take hold of everything that he has for you. But God wants to use your life as a light to point other people to see the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the mercy of God, and the goodness of God. But the question is, are you gonna be self-aware or self-absorbed? Are you gonna mature or are you gonna remain immature?